I'm going to learn. I declare unto you that I am going to learn how to walk in the Spirit. I wrestled with myself and with the Lord for the message for this morning, for the word that God wanted me to bring today, and I prepared a message that I thought was His, but actually it was mine, and He gave me His just a few moments ago. So I'm going to bring that today with this in mind. In 1 Peter chapter 4, you needn't turn there, but I want to read it. It was something the Lord spoke to me when we were in the prayer room with the elders and the pastors before we came out for the service this morning, and it just came out of my mouth, a paraphrase of this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter writes, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." In other words, if a man's going to preach, he ought to preach the words of God and not his own words. "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, not in his own strength, not in his own ability, but in the ability of God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I'd forgotten the rest of that verse until he reminded me to read it up here a few moments ago. And so today, I believe he wants me to bring the oracles of God according to the ability which God has given, and not the oracles of Vic according to the ability which Vic has developed. And so I will begin at John chapter 2, and we will trust the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, that is my prayer today, that as you have spoken to my heart, that you will use my tongue and my spirit to speak to your people, and that the anointing which is within me should come forth in the Word of God, the oracles of God, and should rest upon your people, that we should learn and grow and develop, and that we should become more fully the blessed people that you have just declared us to be. In Jesus' name, we ask it. And Father, before I amen that prayer, I want to say to you that as a people, we acknowledge your blessing upon us. We confess and declare that we are the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we would like to be able to declare that you are the blessed of us, that we bless your heart in the same way that you bless ours, that we would be as large a blessing to you, as impossible as that sounds, that still is the desire of our heart, that we would bless you at the level, at the same level that you bless us. And that may be for some a difficult concept. But I don't know why it should be a difficult concept for us to comprehend, because after all, you made us in your image. We're made after your own image. We are more like you than we even know. You have feelings just as we do. And you can be blessed. You can receive blessings just as we can receive them. And we want to bless you in the same measure that you bless us. And our prayer today, Lord, is that you would enlarge our capacity to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 2, Jesus is just returning from a wedding that he had attended at Cana in Galilee. And verse 12 records these events. "And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge or a whip of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple And with them he drove out the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it had been written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. This is recorded in the Psalms. And the disciples, knowing the word of God, knowing the Psalms, remembered that verse and recognized that what Jesus had just done was a fulfilling of what the psalmist had prophesied. Now, it was customary in that day when the people wanted to worship God, there was only one place to worship him. And that was in the temple at Jerusalem. In all of their towns round about, they had what we would call churches. However, in those places, they did not worship in the way that they did in Jerusalem. They called them synagogues. And today, that's where the Jewish people meet, in synagogues. The synagogue is not a temple. A synagogue is a gathering place where Jewish people meet to receive teaching and to have fellowship and so on. But there was only one place where true worship could be offered, and that was at the temple in Jerusalem, because that's where God dwelt during the age in which we were reading here, the age of the Old Testament, and the age in which the Gospels were set. God had one place where you could meet with him, and where you could actually worship him, and where you could actually praise him, and that was the place where he dwelt, and that was in the temple at Jerusalem. And so if you wanted to worship, you went to Jerusalem, and if you were going to worship, you would bring a sacrifice. That is what you used to offer to him your praise and your thanksgiving and your worship. You did it with an offering of sacrifice. These sacrifices were typically living things. They were bulls, they were goats, they were sheep, they were lambs, they were for poor people, they were birds, they were turtle doves. For someone who was very poor or for certain kinds of worship, these offerings were meal offerings, grain offerings, and so on. And they were brought in and they were given to the priest, and the priest would, if it were a live animal, the priest would slaughter that animal and sprinkle the blood upon the altar there, and then he would place the offering, the animal, on the altar, and it would be consumed and burned, and the fragrance of it would flow up to God, and that would be a blessing to him, because the people had taken something of their own, something of themselves, something which belonged to them, and gave it away to them, to God, in a way that they didn't offer it and take it back. They gave it. It was a sacrifice. Sacrifices died when they were offered to God. Well, it was inconvenient for the people who were coming from long distances, and even for those nearby, to bring of their own animals, because it took a little extra effort on their part to transport their own animals to the temple. And it became convenient for them to have established in the outer court of the temple, the courtyard of the temple, the Jewish people saw an opportunity. There were merchants who realized that this was a wonderful opportunity to make money, and they decided that they would provide a service for the people. This would be a real good thing to do. This would actually be a wonderful thing to do. It's inconvenient for the people, and let's make it easy for them. And so we will supply the animals that they need. They can bring their money to Jerusalem, to town. They can bring their money to the temple from their neighborhoods, wherever. And we will have the animals there, we will have the turtle doves, and we will have the various offerings, and they will be able to come into the temple. It will be very convenient for them. They don't have to make any advance arrangement. They have to make no plans. They don't have to do anything ahead of time. It will be so easy and so convenient. They will simply come into the house of God, and they will bring a little bit of money, and with that money they will buy a lamb or they'll buy a turtle dove, and they can take that then into the next court of the temple and give it to the priest, and the priest will make the offering on their behalf, and they will have worshipped God. Jesus, coming into the temple that day and seeing this going on, was incensed. And the Spirit of the Lord rose up on the inside of him, and he said, you have made this house of God a place of merchandise. And for convenience sake and for profit's sake, you have allowed this to go on. And he went into the outer court and up and down the rows where the tables were of all the merchants. If you can imagine that this was like a market. If you can imagine what the house of God would sound like with all the bleating and all the cooing of the doves and all the noise of the merchants. Well, I've got them 2 for a buck. I've got a special this week. And this is the kind of activity that was going on in the house of God. And when Jesus saw that, he was infuriated. He had no right as a man to do this. But as God Almighty in the flesh, the zeal of the house of God had eaten him up. And he just couldn't stand to not do something about it. And he went down the row of the tables and he threw over the tables, and those that were changing money in the temple, what they were doing with that, the money changers were taking foreign coinage and changing it into the shekel of the temple so that they could make their offering in the appropriate form. That was what money changers did. And he took those tables and turned them over. He took the animals and drove them and the merchant. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? It's a wonderful historical lesson and so on, but what does that have to do with me? Well, I'm going to show you what it has to do with us. If you'll turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 33. Now, today, we do not, under the new covenant, we do not bring sacrificial animals to church with us. We come to church to worship God. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to the official temple to worship God. Why? Because God's presence is not limited to the temple at Jerusalem. Remember that in this age, under this old covenant, God's presence dwelt over the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies place. That was separated from the outer courts by a giant veil, several inches thick, of heavy fabric. When Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross, when he breathed his last and gave up the ghost, the gospel writer records that the veil, or this large curtain in the temple that kept the presence of God separated from his people and limited the presence of God to just that one location, that great thick curtain was rent or ripped from the top to the bottom. God Almighty reached down from heaven and grabbed that thing from the top and ripped it in two from the top to the bottom, signifying that the presence of God was available to all. And the gospel writers and the New Testament epistle writers tell us that God no longer dwells in temples that are made with hands, but God Almighty dwells in men's hearts. And so when we want to worship God, we can worship him wherever we are. We don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And when we worship him, we do not worship him with the sacrificial, with giving up the life of an animal and the sacrificial blood of a lamb or a bull or a goat or a dove. Because the Lamb of God went to a wooden cross and gave his perfect blood and made the perfect sacrifice so that we no longer make those sacrifices. He, according to Hebrews 10, made one sacrifice perfect forever and for all. And so when we come to worship God, we bring a sacrifice, but what is that sacrifice? We don't bring our lambs and we don't bring our doves, but we bring according to Jeremiah 33, according to Hebrews chapter 13, we bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring our praise into the house of God. Jeremiah 33 and 11 brings this forth. The voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Now, what is the connection between these two verses? Between these two passages of Scripture? I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me today, and I want to be able to say it to you in such a way that doesn't bring any condemnation, but rather brings encouragement and instruction, and that is that we often make the same mistake as the people did in Jesus' day. And what is that mistake? I never saw it like this until this very moment. That's how I know that this is the Spirit of God. What do? It's too much trouble for us to get our praises together. It's too much difficulty for us to get our sacrifices ready before we come into the house of God. And so we figure we'll get some when we get there. And we come into the house of God dead in our spirit. We come into the house of God dry in our heart. And we expect our musicians and our leaders to sell us some praise and sell us a sacrifice so that we can then get whipped up to the point where we can sense the presence of God and we can begin to worship Him. We have someone else to provide it for us because it's too much trouble for us to bring it ourselves. Jesus said, I'm going to throw that kind of thing out of my church.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Do you understand that when this man began to sing this morning, this place should have erupted? Should have erupted. Why didn't it erupt? The Spirit of God was all over what was happening on this platform this morning. The Spirit of God was all over this up here. But why weren't we touched? Because we hadn't been to the tables yet to buy our sacrifice. We didn't bring it with us. And we were waiting for John to sell it to us. Amen. Or oh me. Turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles, where John was reading this morning. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I mean, when God shows me something clear, I speak it pretty definitely, but I know the Lord is not wanting to whip anybody today. This is a matter of instruction for us. I want you to be edified today. I want you to be instructed. I want you to see why it is that sometimes we have wonderful manifestations of the presence of God, and at other times we don't. Let's see. No, I never mind. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, let me read this passage. Now, John read from chapter 7, a wonderful passage, John. And John read what happened at the end of the service. Now, I want us to read together what happened earlier. And why? You see, when John read, and we love those verses, Solomon made an end of praying. The fire came down from heaven. Here is the presence of the Almighty God. The presence was so powerful that the priests couldn't stand. They couldn't enter into it because His presence was so powerful. And then we would sing a song, Lord, let Your presence come so that we can't even stand. We want a manifestation of the presence of God. But we've got to understand what these people did before the fire of God fell, before the presence of God came. We don't bip-bop in here after a week of not preparation. We don't bip-bop in here because we just rolled out of bed 5 minutes ago. We got really nothing going on spiritually in our heart. We figure, well, when we get there, we'll buy a lamb. We'll buy a dove. We'll buy some sacrifices, and then we'll have something to offer the Lord. We'll wait for someone from the platform or someone in the service to give us something or to sell us something so that we'll have something to offer, and then we'll get the presence of the Lord. But it just, you know, that's not the way it ought to be. 5th chapter, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. The silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Now, remember I told you that the presence of the Lord dwelt with the Ark. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark, what did they do? They sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. They were preparing their sacrifices before they ever got to the temple. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark that were the ends of the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without, and there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, or Sinai, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Now watch this. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now I want you to notice the connection between the word when and the word then. You might want to take a circle in your Bible, or take your pencil and make a circle in your Bible around the word then, when, and make a circle around the word then, and draw a line between them to connect them. It was when the people lifted up their voice, when they began to magnify and praise God, that then the house was filled with the presence of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And then the sixth chapter records Solomon's prayer. And then the seventh chapter records what John read to us. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now what caused the glory of the Lord to fill the house? What caused the presence of the Lord to be manifested in that place? It was the praises and the sacrifices and the offerings of the people. Now, beloved, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same today as he was last week and last year and 2,000 years ago. This happened almost 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 B.C. He's the same today as he was then. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means nothing more than this. If you really long for the presence of God in your personal life and in the life, the worship life of this church, it's up to us. It's not up to him. It's up to us. If we will bring the sacrifices into the house of the Lord, not come to get them. See, I think we have this mentality that we're going to go to church and see what we can get. We're going to come to church because we need something. We're going to go to the house of God because we have a need. Now, that's appropriate because, you know, he does want to meet our needs. But that is not the only reason we come, and it ought not to be the primary reason we come. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be taken care of, will be added unto you. Our primary motivation in coming to the house of God ought to be in his presence in a special way, because he does manifest his presence in a unique and special way when the believers come together in corporate unity. But it won't happen. You see, we can have a church. Hey, listen, beloved, we can have a church just like the churches up and down every highway and byway in these United States. We can have a church like that. But I don't want to be part of one. I mean, I was raised in one. Are you listening to me? That's not what I want. When I come to the house of God, I want to meet with God. And I do. I do. I've already met with Him. See? And some of you have as well. But it's a tragedy if there's anybody in this room today who has not been aware of the presence of God and has not had a manifestation of the presence of God. That is a great tragedy. And the way that, and that is under, are you listening to me? That is under our control. Do you mean that we have God on a string and we work Him like a puppet? No, it means He has made certain promises to us. Last week He told us, you will seek Me and you will find Me when? When you search for Me with your whole heart, and I will be found of you, He said. Is that what He told us? Was that maybe a couple of weeks ago that was? A couple of weeks ago, okay. That's what He told us. And that's the truth of His Word. But I can tell from, and again, this is not a matter of criticism or anything like that. I don't mean it that way. I just mean, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about us as a people. And I know as a pastor that we can be here for 3 hours doing our thing and get nothing done. 30 seconds of the presence of Jesus will meet your needs. And what I long for in my life, what I live for in my life, is not more knowledge. I'm not searching after more knowledge. I'm searching after more of Him. I want to know Him. I mean, I want to know Him. Listen to the word know. Listen to the word know. Do you know how else the Bible uses the word know? It uses the word know in relationship to a husband and wife and their most intimate relationship. That is called in the Word of God, knowing. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she birthed a son. I want to know God like that. I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Him like nobody else knows Him. I want to know Him like He knows me. I want to know Him. And the only way you get to know someone is to be in their presence. You must spend time with them. I'm not talking about knowing about. I spent the first 37 years of my life knowing about God. Everybody told me about Him. And one day I met Him personally, and it changed my life because I knew Him. And I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more. And the only way that we're going to have that knowledge, either as individuals or as a church, is to know Him in His presence. And the way that we experience His presence is when we don't come to church expecting to buy a sacrifice. This isn't only God could come up with this. You know I didn't figure this out, don't you? I mean, you know I didn't make that connection. You know I'm not that bright. This is God speaking to us today. So we are to bring the sacrifice. We're to bring the worship into the house of God. When the music starts, well, Pastor, if we just had a band, you know, if we just had a praise band, then we could really get into it. You know what you'd get into? You'd get into emotion. Sure. Sure. We could put on a show. What if we were having church at your house today? How many of you have a piano in your home? Well, we're piano poor, aren't we? No wonder nobody knows how to play the piano. We don't have any pianos in homes. Maybe that's what I ought to pray for, is for all the grandmothers to, and grandfathers to give pianos to you guys. And then you'll see that thing sitting there and you say, well, gee, maybe I ought to train my child how to play this thing. Amen. So if we were having church in your house today, what music would we have? We'd have only what you brought, wouldn't we? Do you know how this church was birthed? This church was birthed in a house. There happened to be a piano there, but nobody knew how to use it. You know, a few people could play da 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 da, but you can't really sing Jesus Loves Me to da 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 da. We didn't have a piano player. And do you know how we worshiped? When we came together on Friday, we couldn't wait to get to that place. Those of you who were part of those meetings, you remember what those were like. All week long, we looked forward to Friday night. Friday night was the centerpiece of the week. When we got there on Friday night, we couldn't wait to start to worship and praise God and bless Him. Why? Because the music was so beautiful? No, because as soon as we would begin to sing, oh, the glory, John, the glory of God would fill that living room. Just a bunch of Presbyterians who love God and who brought their worship to a living room. I don't remember a single service we had. We didn't really have services. We had meetings. I don't remember a single time that we gathered that we did not have a manifestation of the presence of God. I don't remember a single time that somebody wasn't touched. Healings and people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and delivered and marriages put together and relationships healed and supernatural demonstrations of the power of God. I remember the night that the room shook. We had an Acts 4 night. All of a sudden we heard this, we were just praying there, and we heard this tinkling. What is going on here? And the next thing you knew, it was a rattling. And we looked up and the dining room chandelier was rocking. And we didn't realize that it was the house that was shaking. You know how you can get on an airplane and you don't have a sensation of motion till you get on the ground. You have something to relate it to. We were in a house that was moving, didn't know the house was moving, because we were moving with it. The only reason we knew the house was moving was because the chandelier was shaking. The presence of God, living the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, He will always be the same. And He's willing to meet with us today. He's willing to meet with us any day and every day. If we came in here on Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning, Thursday night, it doesn't matter. God is willing to meet with His people. He wants to manifest His presence among us. He wants to be here, but we cannot come thinking that we're going to get what we need when we get there. I think it would be good for all of us at some time or other either to be the pastor responsible for bringing the message, or be the song leader responsible for the worship, or someone who had an essential part in the service. Do you know why I think that would be important for all of us? Because you're so concerned about God using you and what you're going to do and your part in the service, you have no time to think about what you need. I can't remember a time, really, I don't know that... I hope this is okay, Lord. I don't remember a time coming to church thinking about what I'm going to get. Now, that doesn't exalt me. I don't mean to say that. What I'm saying, it's an attitude of heart. The attitude is, what am I going to give when I get there? What am I going to provide when I get there? What am I going to do that's going to be a blessing to others when I get there? What am I going to do to bless the Lord when I get there? Oftentimes, and this morning is one of them, we gathered in the back room this morning, and we're just chatting there and talking and so on. Of course, one of the things, I can tell you this, and maybe I can make a plug here for Sunday school. Sunday school is a wonderful preparation for church. You know, when you sit in the Sunday school class for an hour and you share the praises of God and you hear others talk about the things that God is doing, and or you're ministering to the children, or the children are ministering to you, or what have you, and you're concentrating on the things of God, it just puts you in a different frame of reference for when you get into the service. And I encourage you to become part of the Sunday school program. If you have children, shame on you if you don't have them in Sunday school. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for saying it. I'm just sorry that there's shame on you. You ought to have them. You ought to have them here. You ought to have them here. And you as adults ought to be here as well. And that will change. I can tell you, I guarantee you, that will change the church services. We double the Sunday school, change the church services immediately. I know that. I know it will. Beyond that, we meet, the elders and the pastors meet before the service in the prayer room, getting ready for the service, and we just kind of chit-chatting back there and ordering the service and seeing how the Lord is leading in various parts of the service and so on. And then we have a prayer for the service, and sometimes it's a real significant prayer. Sometimes it's just, Lord, thank you, help us, all that, you know, and away we go. And this morning, we just bowed our heads and began to pray, and the Spirit of God just, boom, just hit, not for anything in particular, just His presence, just His presence. I walked out of that room today, and I knew I was walking in the presence of the Lord. And when John began to sing, I just wanted to worship, and some of you did as well. But when John led us in the chorus and we started to sing as a church, I opened my eyes and looked out and said, where's the people? Where's everybody today? Sometimes this place is so filled with the joy of the Lord and so filled with the songs of glory, and other times it sounds like a few people. Oftentimes on Sunday night, when we'll have anywhere from 40 to 60 people on a Sunday evening, sometimes we have stronger worship than we do on Sunday mornings. Don't we, John? Why is that? John, I think that's your problem, John. Something you're not doing right. I mean, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? See? But it's not John. He's the same man. We're different. And so what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that we will have as much of the presence of God in our services and in our lives. We will have as much of His presence as we are willing to prepare ourselves for the services. Remember that when the presence of God fell and filled that place and the fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, there were sacrifices to consume. If the people hadn't brought any sacrifices, there'd been nothing for the fire to fall on. That's the first thing that He spoke to me when you read that passage this morning. And then when we began to sing, and I sensed that there was something missing today. That the reason the fire fell was there was something to burn. And so if we don't bring anything to offer, then He's not going to have any reason to fall. So I guess if we say, what I had to say today would impact on this. If we have a good service, this is the final thing I'm going to say on the subject, I think. If we have a good service, don't you congratulate the pastor. Don't you congratulate the worship leader. Because if we have a good service where the presence of the Lord manifests Himself, it will be because we all brought the sacrifices. And if we do not have a service where the presence of the Lord manifests in a way that we want, don't blame the pastor. Ah, gotcha, didn't I? And don't blame the song leader. And don't blame the musicians. And don't blame the singers. But rather look inwardly and say, gee, why was the service dry today? Why didn't we really sense the move of God's Spirit today? Was He asleep? Was he on vacation? Did he go on a trip? Was he at the beach? Was he busy down the street? Is that why we didn't experience his presence? Would the pastor not feel good? Did John have a bad day the day before? What's going on? No, no, none of those things. It's us. It's us. What was the cartoon character, his name, who said, we have found the enemy, and he is us? Who was that guy? Anybody remember him? Some cartoon. We found the enemy, and he's us. That we are the ones that control our own destiny in this situation. If we want the presence of God, then bring him what he has asked us to bring, and that is the sacrifices of praise. If we do not have his presence, if we do not experience his presence, it is because we didn't come prepared. Amen. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Don to come and handle some announcements, okay? You want to follow that, Don? Huh?
Not real sure.
I thought a moment ago.
Get the sacrifices of.
Sacrifices of offerings, that'll do it. I thought a moment ago, I said, well, how am I going to transist? How am I going to get to transition here from where I am over to Don here? All right. Please, 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 please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I am so glad for a father who, when I would miss the mark and not do what I should be doing, that for my own good, he would take me to the basement and he would take a board. I've told you this story too many times to repeat it, but he would make a fresh paddle every time and he would lay sufficient strokes across the part of my body that was so designed for that purpose and bring me much discomfort. And then when it was all over, he would burn the paddle. But I'm grateful for my, of course, he always had more wood, you know. If he needed some more, he'd always make another one, which he did. But I'm so grateful for my father and not allowing me just to drift off into something that would be misery for me and not knowing why. And I have to say to you today that I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father that he treats us the same way, that he would not allow us to drift off into religion, that he wouldn't allow us to drift off into idleness. He wouldn't allow us to drift off into a spiritual desert. He wouldn't allow us to drift off to a place without telling us what we were doing, without explaining to us why we were having that problem, at least giving us an opportunity to make a correction. But I just have this image of my Heavenly Father today taking the paddle now and going to the furnace and burning it. And as far as he's concerned, it's all over, you know. There won't be any more of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for caring so much for us, Lord. That you would give us your word to reprove us when we need it. We want to be judged by you, Lord. We want to have you. We want to have you speak to us, and not always to tickle our fancies and tickle our ears with things that we love to hear that make us feel good. But also, you show your love to us in that you chasten us as well when you need it. Your word says that any child that is not chastened is like an illegitimate child that doesn't really have a real father. But real fathers chasten and train and instruct their children. And so you do to us. And it is sometimes that the chastening of the Lord, no chastening, you said, is at the present moment pleasant or joyous, but grievous. But it does yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, which is holiness. And that's what we want, Lord. We want to be a peculiar people, a unique people possessed by you, a people that when we come together, that we always have the presence of the Lord among us. We want, Lord, when people come into our services, Father, we want always, even though they may not understand everything that goes on here, they may be unfamiliar with some of our modes of worship and so on, Lord, we want every person to at least know with a surety that they have been in the presence of the Almighty God. For it is the presence of the Lord for which we long. It is the presence of our Heavenly Father for which we covet and which we desire so desperately. We cannot survive apart from the presence of the Lord. It's not that we want to just feel good. We need to have fellowship with you, Lord. And that fellowship, we know, is based upon abiding in your presence. We know that that abiding will bring forth fruitfulness, for you said that we must abide in you, otherwise we can do nothing. We pray, Father, that you will manifest your presence among us. We desire that as we sang the song that John was leading us in a moment ago, Lord, that your glory would be in our services in such a degree that we cannot stand in our human strength in that presence, that we must stand in the strength of Jesus' righteousness, and that only, that we can stand before you, not because of who we are in the flesh, that we wouldn't know any man after the flesh, not even ourselves, but we would know ourselves and one another only after the image of Jesus who lives his life in us. That's our heart's desire, Lord. And we ask it. We ask it with all that is within us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.